Good afternoon, everyone. So today, I would like to talk about one of the five hindrances that remorse and restlessness. And because that the fact that it's very difficult for us to be, the mind becomes still because of the five hindrances. The first one is a desire. So whenever we crave, we want our mind move, isn't it? The doer, you know, the mind move, and then very difficult to settle and become peaceful and become still. The second one is ill will, you know, that you have lots of anger, ill will, because that come from craving. The ill will come from craving when we can't get what we want, you know, and there's the mind move, you know, it's very difficult to become peaceful, isn't it? When we're angry, can we become peaceful? It's very difficult, isn't it? And the third one is a slot and topper, that is, you feel drowsy, you know, you feel tired, you know, you have no energy, you know, that's wrong. The fourth one is restlessness and remorse. And this is quite a common thing, because sometimes because of the guilt that we carry, you know, and we are very restless because of we keep thinking about it, you know, and we have no partly restless, so we are not happy because we keep living in the past because of the remorse of guilt that we carry. And this really one of the hindrances that really very difficult to become peaceful, you know. And then sometimes you find yourself that it's very difficult to settle, and this is quite common. And the last one is doubt. So today I'm more focused on remorse and restlessness. And because the fact that we have this remorse because of we living in the past, we couldn't let go, you know, what we have done, what we have, you know, in the past, you know, and we keep beating ourselves up, we keep punishing ourselves. And but because we cannot forgive ourselves, and we carry that, you know, with us, the remorse, you know, and we keep focusing on the faults, you know, we keep finding fault with ourselves, but we don't look at, actually we have done other many good things as well, isn't it? But sometimes because of us, sometimes come from our conditioning, because sometimes, you know, sometimes our background or conditioning that you've been told that, you know, that you've been conditioned that I'm terrible, I have to punish myself, I have to carry the guilt, you know, then you think, you know, then because you keep doing that, but actually we all, you know, have done lots of good things, isn't it? So that's why the Buddha always encourages us, you know, that sometimes we cannot just try to get rid of some things, we have to develop other qualities, you know, like the qualities that you learn to how to appreciate yourself, to see the good in yourself, to appreciate the good things that you have done. That's why the Buddha again and again, he stressed so much that, you know, that you recollect and you contemplate and reflect on the good qualities of yourself. And he said not to be afraid that if you do that, you become boosting up your ego. No, because not many people really, they truly appreciate themselves, isn't it? You always think that I'm not good, I'm terrible, I'm bad, you know. Then I don't deserve all these things. I'm really no good. I don't deserve all these. I remember many years ago, there was a lady. She stayed at the monastery and she has very low self-esteem. And to the point that she has lots of anger and self-hatred towards herself. And the day that early in the morning, that day was her birthday. So we all give her, you know, we all wish her well and give her blessing. And someone sent her back that, you know, you're such wonderful, we really liked you. And, you know, it's like, you know. And she couldn't take it because she thinks that she doesn't deserve that. She's not good enough to deserve that because she has very low self-esteem. And even she hates herself so much that she thinks that she doesn't deserve that. And that day, she couldn't handle it with all the good dishes, all the, you know, it's not that she'd been told off, you know, like being like, you know, everybody wish her well. And that day she wanted to leave the monastery. I said, no, why are you leaving? I said, the abbot not here at that time. I was still just very junior, just joined the monastery. Then he said, you know, because the abbot is not here, why not you wait till she come back? No, she could not take it. Like, she wanted to leave. She ran away. And we tried to ask her to stay. She could not. And actually, she had this habit pattern. She's go to any monastery and stay, she keep running away. You know, because she keep thinking that she's not good enough. She does not deserve this. They say sometimes it's really good that, you know, we reflect on that. Because this is how the mind is a conditioned thing. We have to brainwash our mind, you know, in a good way, you know, to remind ourselves the good things we have done. You know, not to, because if we focus on the those unskillful things that we have done, we manifest that. You know, we make it so big, isn't it? All we see is our fault. So that's why sometimes it's very difficult to change that habitual pattern. That's why we have to develop a new pattern. It's just like you have to dig a new channel. Before your new channel becomes deep enough, you know, sometimes the water still flow back to the old channel. Then, but you have to keep developing that. That's why sometimes like, you know, you have to develop those quality. Because sometimes meditation is not only that you try to, you try to focus on your breath. You can't do that. We can't use willpower to do it. So we have to develop certain qualities. You know, when we develop these qualities, and these unwholesome qualities are slowly eliminate, because this is stronger than the other one. It's just like we nurture the good qualities, like we don't water the wheat like Ajahn Brahm used to say, we water these good qualities, we make it grow, you know. So that's why sometimes we reflect on that, like, you know, even during Buddha's time, one of the severe killer, he used to kill someone and he'll cut the finger, he will make a necklace and hang on his neck, you know. Someone like him, they can get enlightened. So we haven't done that, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's why sometimes that, like, sometimes we really put ourselves down, we really think that we're good for nothing. Actually, we have, each one of us, we have good qualities. We deserve the praise, we deserve love, you know, we deserve our love too. So that's why, like, because we keep carrying that's why, like, it's good to develop the qualities of learn how to appreciate oneself, to develop the qualities like gratitude. Because part of restlessness is because of we are not happy, we are not content. So when we develop the gratitude, you know, first thing in the morning when we get up, we say, okay, wow, you know, I'm still alive. I remember when I was in Thailand, because of we have my father passed away. After 3 months, my brother passed away. Then I started to realize that how precious life is. I really appreciate life. So every morning to me, for accounting my, that is for me is a blessing to be alive. I really appreciate that. I'm really so grateful that the fact that I'm alive, I still have the opportunity to practice. You know, so that gives me a lot of joy and happiness. So we be grateful. First thing in the morning, we get up, we say, I'm grateful that, you know, even I don't learn a little, learn a lot, at least I learn a little. You know, even though I don't learn a little, at least I'm not sick. You know, even if he's sick, at least I'm still alive. You know, so you have to, we bring up those quality, the gratitude, and when you have this quality, you're grateful. So actually, you appreciate things much more, isn't it? Every single thing also makes you happy. You know, you appreciate things much more, and then you start to appreciate yourself much more. And we don't carry that, you know, think that we are really terrible, we are bad. So we sometimes, meditation is not only just sitting on the cushion, you still have to develop other qualities that support your meditation. Without those qualities, it's very difficult. We can't use our willpower to try to focus on breath. We can't do that. If willpower, we can do that. We all got enlightened, isn't it? Those with the most willpower, you know, you get enlightened. No, you can't. So that's why we have to develop that. So that is good that you reflect on that, contemplate of that. It's helped you. And also not bring your mind back to present moment awareness, because we are living in the past. We just carry the guilt, you know, and being remorseful that what we have done. What we have done already, past is gone. You know, it's just like the Buddha said about the karma. The karma, like what we have done, what we are now is what we have been. What we will be is what we are now. So our future is like in this moment. So bring your mind back to this present moment. So that's why you learn to bring your mind back to this present, not living in the past. And of course, it's said and done easily, but it takes a bit of time. You have to keep training your mind. Whenever you find yourself, you know, wander off and going back, you know, to the past, and you bring your mind back to this present moment. And learn to make peace with this present moment. Learn to stay with whatever, you know, feelings, whatever emotion that you're experiencing right now. We make peace with that. It's okay that because we like to run away from present moment because of sometimes of the unpleasantness. We don't like the unpleasantness because of, for example, in this moment we feel remorseful, we feel sad, and we don't like that because it's really unpleasant. Then we try to, you know, we sometimes run away from it, and then sometimes we think that by running away and you don't feel that, but actually we reinforce that. And sometimes we start to think about it, you know, and then you start to suck in into the thinking. Actually, we reinforce that, and we in fact we intensify of that emotion. Then to learn to bring your mind back to this present moment. One of the ways that is really helpful that you can do the breathing exercise, and you can do it outside meditation wherever you are. You can do that whenever you feel whatever that that unpleasantness or any guilt, whatever, you know, that irritation, whatever anxieties that you're experiencing that moment, that you just breathing in, you know, guilty or remorseful or whatever agitation, you embrace that, you accept that it's okay, you know, that this is how we feel. We learn to make peace with that, and then you're breathing out peace. Because when we do that, breathing in, you know, anxieties or breathing in agitation, whatever, you know, feelings, whatever emotion that you experience at that moment, and breathing out peace. But when you do that, breathing out, you're breathing in, you know, these negativities, and breathing out peace, breathing in, and then breathing out peace. Because if you keep doing that, actually you have that imprint in your mind. This is how you keep training your mind, you know, to look at the positive, you know, to look at the wholesome qualities. Of course, it will not happen overnight. It takes a bit of time. Because sometimes we develop, the Buddha said, like, a mental habitual pattern, we incline towards negativities. That this is how you have to train your mind. You have to keep doing that. Even outside your meditation, you can do that. Breathing in and breathing out peace. So when you're breathing in, that is that you're consciously aware that you're embracing that, you're accepting it. So letting go is not to try to get rid of things. Letting go is to embrace. Accepting itself is letting go. We allow ourselves to be, we allow whatever emotion, whatever feeling that we experience right now, it's okay that we experience that. We let that, we embrace that, we accept that, we allowed it to be. And then we're just breathing out peace. So we are making peace with that. So if you keep doing that, actually you have the imprint in yourself that you're embracing that, you know. And it's helpful. You can do it anytime. Or just before your meditation, you can do that. You know, of course, if you're peaceful, you're okay. You don't have to deliberately do that. If you're sometimes, you know, that you just easily, you know, be able to wash your breath and you just easily do that, you don't have to do that. But this is one of the skillful means. Because sometimes it's important The whole path of practice is not only sitting in the cushion, it's what before you sit here on the cushion, you know, you start meditating. Actually, it's important how you live your life, your attitude, you know, how you deal with things, how you deal with your life actually is important. That's why we develop those qualities throughout, you know, throughout the whole day, you know, the way we deal with things. So the, our attitude is really important. It's not that you just sit on the cushion and just try to focus on the breath, you know, nothing special with the breath. The breath is just the anchor point for you, something to just an object that you'll be able to focus on. So, but actually, meditation is just only one part, but you have other part. That's why it's important, it's only one factor. So, because again and again the Buddha stressed about the noble four path. So you have the, you need to have the other path, like, you know, like strengthen your morality, you know, restrain more, people, you know. Then actually another skillful means that is also very useful, that you reflect on your own virtue. And that bring you lots of joy and happiness too, you know, to look at the good qualities in ourselves, you know. Because once you develop the habit of only finding fault with ourselves, then it becomes like a default setting. Sometimes we don't even know that we are doing it, you know. That's why sometimes you need to deliberately bring that to your mind and keep training your mind that way. To look at the good qualities, to look at our own goodness, and learn to appreciate ourselves. And that's why we need to develop that qualities. Then when these qualities grow, and this is help to weaken the other unwholesome qualities that really stopping us from being peaceful. But we cannot use willpower to get rid of it. And as it's just like when you want to uproot a big tree, you cannot just pull out the whole big tree, isn't it? You have to cut the branches first, you know, before you be able to uproot. The same thing, you have to develop these qualities, you know, like gratitude, and that leads to contentment, which is content. When you're content, your mind becomes still. Because the restlessness is come from, we are not happy, we are not content. We want something else, we want something else. We keep looking for other things, that's why we are restless. So if you have the qualities like gratitude, contentment, then your mind, because that you don't want anything anymore, because it's just happy, you know. I'm just happy, the fact that I'm just grateful and happy that the fact that I have the opportunity even come here to meditate. And I'm really happy, whether what stages that I will be, it doesn't matter. The fact that I have the opportunity to practice, to meditate, actually, I'm already grateful. So when you have this, your mind becomes content, and your mind becomes peaceful very quickly. So you have to develop some of the qualities. So it's not that keep struggling and try to force yourself and try to use willpower to try to focus on the breath. And I can tell you, if you keep doing that, you have no progress. So you have to develop other qualities and to use some other skillful means to help us to support our meditation. Because it's just to force yourself to sit on the cushion is not good enough. We need to have other qualities to support our meditation. So I offer this today for your reflection, so we can start meditate now. Just find a comfortable posture. Whether you want to sit cross-legged, and you don't have to be full lotus, whatever posture that you feel comfortable.
And you just bring your awareness into your body and start to relax your body. You don't have to rush into focusing on your breath. Just spend a little bit of time to relax your body. This present moment awareness, just aware what's happening right now. You might have some discomfort in your body, and you just relax your body. You might have some thoughts, some distraction in your mind. Or whatever feelings that you're experiencing right now. Or any agitation, irritation. Or any unpleasantness that you're experiencing right now. You just breathe it in. Breathing in unpleasantness. Breathing out peace. We embrace. Those unpleasantness. So breathing in any unpleasantness, feelings or emotion, or any negative thoughts, just breathing in. We embrace whatever experience right now. And we breathe out peace. We make peace with whatever we experience right now. And you started to feel the peace. And then there's some joy, very subtle joy. Joy of being peaceful. can start to pay attention under your breath, and you can feel the breath is so smooth, it's so pleasant. You can feel lots of joy. Because of the joy, your breath becomes so beautiful. And continue focus on your breath, the awareness on your breath, in and out breath. meditation by counting three in and out breath, then you can end your meditation. This is the first question. My question is about falling asleep during meditation. Are we supposed to try and stay awake? And sometimes there's many reasons of why we feel falling asleep. Sometimes maybe physical, sometimes maybe mental, sometimes when we think too much, you know, and it becomes because the thinking itself, like worrying about things, you know, and that actually use up lots of mental energy, then that's why you feel tired. And sometimes maybe that maybe you're not sleeping well, maybe you're really sleepy. And sometimes physical, like maybe sometimes you eat too much, and then your energy, you know, has gone into try to digest your food, and then you feel a bit tired, you know, you have no energy. So that can be, but don't try to stay awake, because sometimes even with that falling asleep, sometimes it's just because of the drowsiness that you're falling asleep, and sometimes that will pass too. You know, if you leave it alone, actually it will pass. Like in the early days, like we wake up so early, we wake up 3 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes I feel sleepy too because so early. Sometimes I just sit there and I feel I'm still sleepy, you know. So I have to. I didn't force myself and try to stay awake. Actually, I let it go. I just make peace with that, you know, sleepiness, you know. So I just sit there. I just nod. I just. And then after a while, actually it passed. Actually, the moment it passed, the mind becomes so bright. And then that time, oh, I started, you know, after that kind of, you know, sleepiness, and I keep not, and my head just not like that, you know. And then after that, when that passed, my mind becomes really bright. I didn't do anything. I just let it be. And then the mind becomes so bright, and I'd be able to really focus on my breath. And it's so nice, the breath, because you let go, you know, you just let it be. And then I focus, the breath becomes so beautiful, so nice, and I keep. And then after that, I started to really enjoy, you know, the meditation, the breath, and then my alarm goes off. I said, I started to enjoy my meditation, you know. And sometimes that you just have to let it go. Sometimes we control so much. Like sometimes people think that, oh, you know, you have to have the best posture, your body has to be very strict. Imagine constantly you pay attention on your body to try to make your body strict, you know, but actually you are not relaxed, you know, it's very tense, you know. And that's why there's one of the suttas that the Buddha walked past, he saw the first man, he was sitting there, you know, he was really, you know, very straight, erect. Oh, he's just meditating. And then the Buddha said, oh, this one cannot. He's too controlling, try to control his body, you know, too tense. And after that, he see another monk, and then this monk sitting there meditating like that. You know, then he said, okay, he's good, he relaxed, you know. Then I remember last time when Ajahn Brahm said that, and he, I just said, you see, that's true. Do you have the suttas? Then I asked Ajahn Ramali, sadness, the sutta is true. That is a suttas about that, you know. Because sometimes you're too tense. Sometimes it's okay. Falling asleep is fine. Sometimes the more we try to fight, actually it's worse, you know. You just let it be, you know. Sometimes you just, it happens sometimes also we feel tired, you know, because you don't always
so bright all the time, isn't it? And that actually you allow, because sometimes the more we try, sometimes we try too hard. And actually it's counterproductive, we make it worse. So sometimes there's many reasons, might be physical, might be sometimes you've been working too hard, you know, very stressful, you know. And sometimes, like meditation retreat, and sometimes that you've been working very hard, and then, of course, the first 2 days you'll be a bit tired, sleepy, very sleepy. Actually, it's okay, it's quite normal. Or sometimes maybe you're eating too much, you know. Or sometimes you try too hard. And you try too hard. Because when you try too hard, and because you try to use willpower, and use up lots of mental energy. When you have when your energy is low, you feel like no energy, it's tired. Then you feel like you want to sleep because the mind is not awake. So there are many reasons, but you just have to, you know, just to check yourself, you know, to find whether, you know, maybe I'm eating too much, maybe I'm really thinking too much, you know, worrying about things, and because that the thinking itself use up lots of mental energy. So that can be mental and can be physical reason. What advice would you give to an alcoholic or addict who is trying to quit drinking and or using drugs? First of all, my advice is that you yourself have to be really willing to give up. Because sometimes other people can give you, you know, sometimes, first of all, have to come from you. I remember that some years ago, there was a young lady, a teenage girl, and she was having drugs problem. And I met her father yesterday, and her father come to me and said, oh, thank you so much, you know, that just, I couldn't believe, like a miracle, my daughter changed another person. Sometimes, you know, he's just like he said, I don't know what you have done. I said, I didn't do anything much, you know. And because the father brought her to me, that, you know, she having drugs problem. And then we have a few sessions with her. The first day, I look at her, I talk to her, I look into her eyes. Really, I look in the eyes. I said, I would love to help to give you support, whatever, you know, that you need support. I think your family will, the father will give you the support. And I would love to help you. It's not that I don't like to help you, I love to help you. Your father, everyone, you know, your father was, you know, they love to help you. We all would love to help you. But first of all, has to come from yourself. Are you willing to help yourself? Sometimes that we don't want to take responsibility. We always thinking that we want someone to, you know, to lift us up, you know, to pull us up, you know, to help us, you know. But first of all, you have to have that willingness. If you are not willing, no matter how hard I try, I told her, if you are not willing to change, you know, no matter how hard I try, you know, tell you, you know, give her books and give her some guided meditation CD, you know, or you do this, you do that, you know, talking to her, you know, counseling and this, you know. I said, doesn't work at all because deep down, you're not willing. Because if you're not willing, no one can force you, no one can do anything. I said, first of all, you ask yourself, are you willing to do that? If you're not willing, no matter how hard we try, it's not going to work. It has to come from you. But of course, we can give you advice, we can give you support, you know. That's why all this to quit, all this addiction, it takes a bit of time, but you need to have the determination from yourself, the willingness. And I think so happened that moment, sometimes that moment that, you know, like when we said, when the student ready, the teacher appeared. And it just so happened that she's been receptive. When I said to her, she got it. Like, that really, this is how sometimes the insight, you know, when we have the insight, like the moment you just think the pennies drop, you know, you just waken up to the, oh, you know. And she, that happened to her. So that's all I said to her, and then I have a few sessions with her, and that's it. And then she didn't come back. So I was thinking, I don't know, you know, that's either it doesn't work, or they go back to square one, or they have changed, they do not need to come and see me. Of course, I prefer, you know, that because she's really doing well, she do not need to come to see me, then rather that, you know, she's going back to drugs again, you know. And then I met her father yesterday, and the father said, oh, so good now, she's really so good, she's doing so well, I'm so happy, it's like a miracle, because they tried all sorts of things before she, I said, it's just that, sometimes it's just that the timing, you know, when sometimes the person have to be receptive. We can give same advice, you know, to different people, and some people got it, some people, they didn't get it, you know, so it depends on that person, you know. Sometimes if you are receptive, you get it, you know. But sometimes I know, sometimes like you try to explain, you know, how and half an hour, and then when the person starts to ask the question, you know that the person didn't get it, you know. They still ask the question, like, you know, I remember we had someone that asked me how to overcome anger, and I explained to this person how to practice, how you know, the whole lot, you know. After saying that for almost half an hour, then the person still asked me to have a method that you do and your anger will go away. Then I said, I have no secret recipe. There's nothing that you can just, you know, that you can just do it and you can done with, and then you have no anger. And no such thing, you know. There's no shortcut. I said, I haven't got this secret recipe. If I have it, I would have used it myself, you know. I got enlightened long ago. So that's why I said, there's no shortcut. You have to pick up the whole path of practice. But people try to want to have something that, you know, like give me a recipe. Away, then I apply and I immediately my anger goes away. No, it won't go away. It takes lots of practice, you know. There's no shortcut. So that's why sometimes I can, you know, the advice, whatever, you know, you can, you know, you can go for meditation, you know. There's so many meditation class, you know. There's so many teaching, you know. Then, you know, on the website, not it's so easy, you know. You get all this information. But first of all, that have to come from yourself, that you ask yourself, that are you willing to do that? And the determination that, yes, you know, I'm going to do it. But if you don't have that determination, if you don't have the willingness, whatever advice, you know, is not going to work. So I hope this answer this person's question. And any more questions or comments? No? So there's no questions or comments, so we can end the session today. Okay. Thank you.